Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Wa Juma Mubarak. This is Martha Naila Abdullahi, and it gives me great honor to be here with you. Juma Mubarak to everyone. I pray the day is a blessing to all. And for those who have transitioned, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is the one God, grant them paradise, forgive them the errors, and bring relief to their families, to their loved ones, and to the communities that they were part of. Definitely one to mention the name of a sister from Texas in connection with Imam Omar Shakir. Her name is Alma Johnson. She transitioned Wednesday morning, about 3 a.m., and her family immediately had her janazah services. So he shared that with me. Difficulty, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, that you go through it, but on the other end, being more blessed. We're here at Juma services coming out of Tampa Bay area with the Tampa Bay Dukawi Aziz. The first call has been made, the Adhan, and the Sunnah personal prayers are being made right now for those who want to go on and do that. We'll hear the second call, and we will then Imam will begin. His topic is, "I am the best and best."
وأشهد أن محمداً رسول الله. أشهد أن محمداً
Muted. The recording has started.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amma ba'd. And that is to all of you the praises for Allah alone, and we ask him for his help, and we ask him for forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions. So whosoever Allah guides, never will he or she go astray, and whosoever goes astray, then for him or her, there is no guide. Dear people, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. The prayers and peace be on him, and everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. And to all of you, assalamu alaikum, and a wonderful Jummah Mubarak to you. Alhamdulillah. Yes, praise be to Allah. So today, family, we want to again reflect on ourselves. And we want to, there is some connection from today with last Jummah, the last khutbah we did last Friday. Today, I am the best and the better of myself. And so there is some points that we like to make here. Because, again, you know, we have to know what is the better of ourselves. And we have to know what is it that challenges us to bring forth the best of ourselves. We cannot allow others, situations, to determine for us who it is and what it is that we should, you know, have the pride of who and what we are. You know, we can't let other people make those determinations. So, alhamdulillah, yes, I am the best and the better of myself. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, I'd like to start in Suratul 7, verse 2. And it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kitabun Unzila. إليك الفلاح يكون في صدرك حرج منه لتنذر به والذكرى للمؤمنين. And the translation is, a book revealed unto you, so let your heart, so let your heart be oppressed no more by any difficulty on that account, that with it you might warn the erring, the one that's going astray, and teach the believers. Sadaqallahu azim. That was translation, Yusuf Ali. My beloved brothers and sisters, a book revealed unto you, and I'm sure you know by now, that book is a script for human life in which we know as Al-Quran, Al-Quran. This book is revealed so that the heart does not have to be with difficulty or oppression. Allah does not want us to be oppressed. We must remember, dear people, most times when the heart is referred to in the scripture language, it is not addressing the flesh muscle in the chest. It's not necessarily addressing that. But that could be included based on what the statement is. This is the metaphorical heart, the individual heart as well as the group heart, but in a metaphorical sense. God does not want the heart to be under oppression. Oppression, dear people, is where there's slaughter. And do not give yourself to oppression. Do not put oppression upon the heart. If we put the flesh heart under undue pressure and duress, it is subject to failure. Yeah, it is subject to failure. So we must have a similar concern for the metaphorical heart as well. We don't want to put it under that pressure. It should be free of the oppression. So the heart we are referring to is the sensitive nature of the human being. That would be the appetites, the oppression, the passion, the appetite, the passion, the desires, and the drives. They will serve human life well, dear people, if we have not been dominated by an unhealthy environment. If that's the case, then those appetites, those desires, those passions, those drives, they will serve as well. They will serve human life well if they have not been dominated by unhealthy environment. Okay? And they have to have good relationship when the social environment is suffering from a misguided spirit. And you will find the social environment is dominated with those bad spirits. And we have to remain free of them, dear people. They will oppress our hearts and bring us to a place of dysfunctionalism. And our heart will be under an attack. With an oppressed heart, we will only punish ourselves. The heart cannot serve you in the best manner when it is oppressed, dear people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us if we but accept he has made available, we will be free from that oppression, and the heart will give us the help to be the best and the better human being. So Allah, he says to us, in his Quran, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. And the translation is, follow, O men, the revelation given unto you from your Lord, and follow not as friends or protectors other than him. Little is it you remember of admonition. The word tabi'u is an imperative or commanded verb. It's emphatic to whoever is being addressed. And you have been commanded to follow the script that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused to come down to you. That is a big challenge for most people. It is. But you have to find a way, because this command is from your Lord. And you must not position yourself to reject his command, of which will result in a disaster in which you will have to manage. Yes, you're responsible for managing all of the disasters that you create in your life by going contrary to the script. The life will be met with a dysfunctional episode that will require you to trust your Lord and the script he has provided you. Dear people, you are not to follow anything other than your Lord or that which is sent by your Lord. For you, besides him, there should never be awliyah. That is, we get the word wali. Wali, the protecting friend. There is no protecting friend besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is more concerned for your well-being than you are for your own self. But little is it that you hear from the warning to not betray the trust of Allah, who is your real and true trusting friend. So, you don't think very much about the warning from Allah when your heart falls under oppression. The oppression that we're talking about here, we're not talking about something painful. What oppresses the life is what feels good to the flesh life, to the heart, but it's not good for it. That's the oppression that we are addressing here. That's the oppression that gets you off course. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in his Quran, وَقَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَاتٍ أَحْلَقْنَهَا فَجَاءَهَا بَعْسُنَّ الْبِيَاتٍ أَوْهُمْ القائلون صدق الله العظيم. And the translation is, how many towns have we destroyed for their sins? Our punishment took them at a sudden by night, or while they slept for their afternoon rest. Praise be to Allah. My beloved brothers and sisters, our task at hand is to follow the beautiful language of the Quran firstly. Yes, it is. And many of the towns or cities were destroyed at night. Did you know that? Yes. Many of them were destroyed at night. Now, what does that mean? That means civilization lost its way when darkness fell over the land. That's what happened. Lost its intelligence, a rational outlook on life. The land, dear people, is your position of intelligence. You have etched out of the earth. It should be the best route to lead you to your Lord. Right? The earth can be all grown up, and we can cut a path in which to travel. So we have to understand the metaphorical language and what it is pointing to. Yes, we cut a path. That path should be a rational path, a path that will lead us to our Lord. As you may know, dear people, you know, some terrain can be very challenging and confusing when you are coming out of darkness into the light. Yes. Your travel is much better in the day than it is in the night. And it takes time to adjust. Coming out of the darkness into the light. Your sight is just not immediately there. It takes time to adjust to the light. So over time, it takes time for your intelligence to adjust because you're coming out of ignorant behavior life. But Shaitan promises to wait for you on the path that is straight. That's his challenge to you. So it's going to be difficult on the challenge. From the challenge, there's going to be difficulty from the challenge. Right? Sometimes the difficulties come, and it makes us just want to take a shortcut. But the short way is not always the best way. I'm telling you. The metaphoric statement of darkness that fell over the land is to say, dear people, that enlightenment went dark. They lost their light. They lost their good senses. And when you do that, you will lose your way. We are challenged with that today, dear people, whether it comes from our schools, our politicians, our religious groups, and other essential places that seek to have an influence over our lives. It seems that it doesn't make good sense to make good sense anymore. So, there's a consequences for being a creature of light who prefer the night.
Yes.
Everything about you as a creation is designed to work better in the daylight, because God says the night he has created it for rest. That means you're not going to make the progression, the progress in the night as you were making the day, because you have been designed to travel in the light or to travel by light. If you understand the metaphorical content here, for a few generations, they were in the light, and all at a sudden, they realized they were in darkness. They were so preoccupied that they did not notice the sun was setting on them. They were having such a good time serving their sensitive nature. They did not see the sun go down because it didn't appear that is what was happening. Yeah, all of these different erratic situations that are being introduced now, and we think nothing of it. Oh, it comes under the Freedom Act of the Constitution. It's, you know, it's okay. No, the sun is going down. Your light is leaving you. And civilization would be in great darkness. Again, they were so preoccupied with the novelty of many ways to entertain the life with sensation until they lost contact, dear people, and the whereabouts of the life they were charged with. Now, all of what is being said by this sign or this verse must be taken as a vital part of what is to be understood for a brighter picture. Yes, what is to be understood for a brighter picture? The sign that is given is in the afternoon, right? It said that they were to take their afternoon rest. So the sign that is given here is in the afternoon, which is not a time when the sun has set. The sun is still out, but it's going down on you. It's going down. That's to say that your light is leaving you. The sun is still visible in the sky, but they took an afternoon nap. Yes, it wasn't that bad. Oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. So let's just take a nap, and then we'll deal with it later. The sun is up, and they went to sleep. The idea here is that they fell off to sleep in the light of day. Yes, they went to sleep. They lost focus of where they should be headed. You can't see that when you sleep. They fell asleep at the wheel and lost control of the light. And this loss of control has negatively affected much of the life. So now, that means that we can be charged with driving while asleep. We went to sleep. And for most of us, depending on what generation we're indigenous to, you know, you wake up and you say, my God, what has happened? A few years ago, there was a decency, and that was in the hands of human life. But what has happened now? What's going on? What is happening? That's what happens when you go to sleep and wake up and find out that it's not like it was when you went to sleep. Things have changed. Because the sun is going down. The light is setting. When they woke up to make an assessment, they realized they were in unfamiliar territory, far from where they needed to be. Yeah, I mean, if you're traveling on the earth, you have a destination that you have to get to. But if you lose your direction because you don't have a light by which to see, especially when darkness comes, you're in trouble. They realized they were not in Kansas anymore. They just took a brief nap. Oh, we're not going to sleep long. We're just going to take a little nap, get a little rest, you know, and we'll deal with it. It's okay. Yeah, well, they took a brief nap. But when they awoke, darkness was already upon them. Yes, what they thought was just a little nap. When they woke up, the sun has set. I'm giving this to you in the third person, plural. But we can easily change this to the first person, plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers and sisters, he says in his Quran, فَمَا كَانَ دَعْوَاهُمْ إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَعْثُنَا إِلَّا أَنْ قالوا إن القنا الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has spoken the truth. When thus our punishment took them, no cry did they utter but this, indeed, we were wrong. We were wrong. So what has happened to us is deserving because we were wrong. We err, and we have to accept responsibility for that. Oh, Allah, we wronged ourselves. Forgive us and grant us the ability to make right what we have wronged. Yeah, we have to take responsibility. That behavior seems to be the most frequent one displayed when society drifts off to sleep during the daylight hours, to only wake up in the fullness of the night. And it was a beautiful sunny day. And they took what seems to be a quick nap. But when they woke up, it was black dark. Lost their life. Lost their intelligence. What was their rational disposition is now dysfunctional. When they see that thick black darkness, they will admit, we were wrong. It's obvious. It's an indictment, a clear indictment against you, because you can't run from it. Because the behavior life that you accepted and chose was against the script. And you got comfortable and it took away your life. While you are enraptured to people with the pleasure and fun of your misguided decisions, you are not willing to admit or act on the idea that you were wrong. While the situation was serving your pleasurable interest, at that time, the darkness will take away from the distance of your sight. The only time you can admit such a reality is when daylight comes again. Or you are blessed with a light in the night. One that would allow you to see how wrong you really are. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in his Quran, فَلَنَسْ أَسْلَنَّا الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَّا إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْ أَهْلَنَنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Then shall we question those to whom our message was sent and those by whom we sent it? Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fulfills his promises. They are the ones who receive the earlier message sent. They are aware of what displeases God because the information reached them long before now. So, God promised that he would question them about what led them away from obeying him when the message came to them. Why did you allow such behavior to influence you and cause you to err In addition to that, Allah Azza wa Jal will question the messengers who delivered those messages and will confirm their people they did not deviate in any way. Instead, they delivered those messages exactly as Allah will have them be delivered. So the question becomes, then, what message did you follow? Because your behavior does not match the message sent to you, and it does not match the message delivered to you by the messenger who will contradict the lie you will be prepared to tell. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Our Lord, we have certainly wronged our own souls. And if we are not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we'll be among the losers. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that God is one. He, Allah, is one alone. He has no partners. And we bear witness that Muhammad of 1400 years ago is the messenger and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, him be the prayers and the peace and everything of excellence that follows. Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's see if we can finish up the second half and provoke some questions of clarity for those of you who are with us today. If I think AM360 may be with us. If so, may Allah continue to bless you. I hope so. And I hope that at the end, on the other side of this, we can get some questions or comments from some of the believers who may be listening. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his Quran, فَلَنَخُسَّنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بِإِلْمْ وَمَا كُنَّا غَيْبِينَ. And verily, we shall recount their whole story with knowledge. But we were never absent at any time or place. So that's why we can't count on the lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always present. So Allah will give us the opportunity to come clean and distance ourselves from deviant behaviors and return to the favor of Allah, our Lord. So when you lie to Allah, he will allow that episode to be the dominant experience in your life, dear people. It will repeat itself in continuum as a punishment to the lie you tell with your life. Allah, he said, he was never absent when you misrepresented the truth. You cannot plead the fifth here. You can only find relief by purifying the life. Purifying the life, because that is how and the only way that you can give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best way to plead the fifth, is to attempt to dodge responsibility. You will need hands-on in order to produce a responsible outcome. It is your life, and God has made you responsible. So he says to us in his Quran, والوزن يومئذ الحق فما تقول ما وزنوه فأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah certainly spoke the truth. The translation is the balance that day will be true to nicety. Parentheses, those whose scale of good will be heavy will prosper. And let there be no doubt about it. Allah has spoken and confirmed what must happen and what will be needed on that day. Clearly, dear people, it would be an act of balance. Balance. Right? Not falling down and tripping. Balance. Not having to be pushed down. Balance. But if you go down with balance. Go down with intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can stand up again. The preponderant weight will have to be on the right side of the fulcrum for the benefit. And as a benefit to the life. So in your life, you have the ability to weigh a thing as to what is its true value and benefit to you. Where will it be placed on the scale that represents your worth? How would that be or that act speak for you? Everything adds up. Doesn't matter whether it is for you or against you. Nevertheless, it adds up. The script Allah has sent, my beloved brothers and sisters, it is for the life of the ones who trust God without hesitation. These are the ones who will prosper from stacking the scale full of good. And no matter how much more good over bad you have on the scale, it will never be out of balance. So, there will either be a preponderance of good or preponderance of bad. It takes an employment of effort to stack that scale one way or the other. But the weight of the good would ensure your success. Allah, he says in his Quran, وَمَنْ أَخَذَتْ مَوَازِنُهُ فَأُولَيْكَ الَّذِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا بِأَحْيَاتِنَا يَظْلِمُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has certainly spoken the truth. So those whose scale will be light will be their souls in perdition. For that they wrongfully treated our signs. That is the translation by Yusuf Ali. These are the ones, the people who misread the signs of Allah. There are no benefit in claiming that status. The reward for that status is hell. This is to say that the script or the sign, or perhaps the ayat, have their representation. Whenever you are out of step or contrary to their meaning, then you are misrepresenting them for different outcomes. Yes, you're misrepresenting the ayat. You're misrepresenting the sign. So when you misrepresent a thing, it creates a degree of falsity. That is the problem. You have to align yourself with the movement of the script to be in step with the word of God. That, dear people, is the word he expects the human being to embrace for the best result of what the life can produce, to have weight on the scale of justice, to misrepresent the sign of the crime, to force them to say what they were not created to say. To do that is to lie on Allah rather than to rely on him and trust what he has provided as a means to express the life. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us, my beloved brothers and sisters, in his Quran, وَلَّقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَائِشَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has spoken the truth. The translation, it is we who have placed you with authority on earth and provided you therein with means for the fulfillment of your life. Small are the things that you give. Fil-ard is clearly in the earth, literally. So the translator chose to translate it as on earth because the reader is more likely to connect with that because we are on top of the earth. Filar takes a bit more explanation to make the deeper connection for the benefit of the whole picture in order to understand the people, the bigger point that is being made by it. And certainly we establish you in the earth. Til art, in the earth. The word makanakum is we place you. So makanakum fil art is more exactly is we place you in the earth. We place you in the earth. So why would God place us in the earth instead of on the earth as the translator has translated it? Well, in chapter 35, verse 39, Allah, he says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلْ لَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He says, he is who created you as Khalifa in the earth. So there it is again. In the earth. What is the point? What is the point that I'm attempting to make here? Some of different viewpoints may say, yeah, but it was God who scooped up some mud and fashioned it into shape. Yes, that is true if you truthfully understand what that is saying. In the earth, as opposed to on earth, has a lot to do with appetites, desires, drives, and passions. Yes, It does. That is your earth, dear people. And Allah put you in them so that you would emerge as the successor, the leader, the ruler, and the manager of the life. How can you be the Khalifa of the life and you can't control your appetite? You can't control your desires. You can't control your drive. And you can't control your passion. How can you be the leader of that life? That's your earth. The sentimental nature or the nature sensitivity will give you shape and form. Yes, you can be formed by them, particularly if they're in control of you and you are not in control of them. They will shape and form you. They will give shape to you. And the shape that they give to you, if they are not serving the human being as God intended for them, then the shape that they give to you will not look human. No. They'll be trying to figure out which particular animal that you belong to. Allah has put you in them because they need a governor. They need a governor. They will serve that governor with the best of what Allah has put in their creation. They will help you fulfill your life. And little things are it that you give to Allah as a wajah. Yeah, we don't thank God for establishing us as the ruler, as the manager over our lives. Okay, so we move to completion here. Allah, he says, وَلَّخَتْ خَلَقْنَكُمْ ثُمَّا سَوَارِنَاكُمْ ثُمَّا لُقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَاتِ اِسْجُودُوا للآدمة فالسجود إلا الإبليس لم يكن من الثابتين ساجدين لم يكن من الساجدين. And the translation is, it is we who created you and gave you shape. Then we bade the angel prostrate to Adam, and they prostrate. Not so Iblis. He refused to be of those who prostrate. Well, Allah says, he is the one who created you and portioned you with what you would need to arrive at the human destiny. To bring to the forefront the best of yourself, to fulfill your obligation to achieve the best of what the angel will respect in you as they surrender to you the best of what is in themselves. And they did prostrate. The angel, they did prostrate, except for the mindset who does not wish to see you in the best of yourself. That would be Iblis. That would be Iblis. فَسَجِّدُوا إِلَّا الْإِبْلِيسَ. No, Iblis would not surrender, did not want to surrender. No. So, the one who wants to show God that you are not worth, you're not worth what he, Allah, has declared as an investment in you. That you cannot give him, Allah that is, back what he has entrusted you with. Not like he gave it to you. That is the indictment from Iblis. Astaghfiru, right? I'm bigger and I'm better than him. Iblis' contention is that you are weakling and cannot stand your ground, and that he, Iblis, is better from you and of you, that he is the better of you, that he can control the appetite, the drives, right, the passions. He can control these things. He said, but you are a weakling. You can't control them. They were only this big of you. And God has made a bad investment when he chose you. Yes. Trust God when he tells you, dear people, that Iblis is not an angel. He refused to surrender to help the advancement of human life. When he asked God for respite, right? God agreed and sent him down in the earth as your challenger. God had his faith in his human being. Okay, Iblis, if you want that challenge, you can have it. But my trust is in my human being. When he asked God for respect, God agreed. He is now in your earth. God sent him down to the earth. He's in your earth. Right? You know, the earth we were talking about? The drive, the passion, yeah, yeah. The desires, he's in your earth. I'm here to tell you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, that Iblis refused our father Adam, but I won't allow him to refuse me. I ask you to join me in taking that stance. In the spirit of Muhammad the Prophet, alayhi salam, who stood his ground and his jinn surrendered. Iblis. Yes. Iblis is our challenge. Our challenge too is coming from Iblis. And when we want, be moved. He will surrender, and he too will become Muslims as the rest of the members of yourself, so that you may show God who is the better of yourself. He, the Iblis, the jinn, will cause you to fail, or he will go to sajda, the surrender, as well as the angels. Allah has ordered them to surrender to Adam, to surrender to you. This is so for the individual Iblis, as well as the bigger Iblis of the social community. We have to stand with the true light of socio-religious reform, not as a weakling, but as those who will stand with Allah, Muhammad the Prophet, and the believers. Yes. While we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is truly the better of ourselves. Yes. Who is truly the better of ourselves. So, we say, ربنا لا تزغي قلوبنا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Lord, let not our hearts deviate after our guidance and grant us your presence and your presence of mercy. Surely you are the most liberal of all the granters. Alhamdulillah. Igamata Sarai.
Unmuted.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This session is no longer being recorded.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu an Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayyal al-salat, hayyal al-salat. Hayyal al-falat, hayyal al-falat. Could come into salat, could come into salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intend to make turaka of salatul jumafar. Masha Allah. Inshallah. Okay. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. القارية إن القارية وما أدرك ما قارية يوم يكون الناس كفراش مبثو وتقول جبال كالإبن منفوش فأما من تقول ما وزنه أومه هبية وما أدرك ما هي نار حمية. الله أكبر. سامي الله لمحمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سامي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We witness your wonders in the prophethood of Muhammad al-As. We seek your mercy. We seek your protection. We seek your guidance. We seek forgiveness for our sins. We seek your help. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. And we thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you plant firmly our feet on this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, and let us not die unless we are Muslims. O Allah, for surely we offer to you the best of ourselves. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen. We'll make the two rakats and come back shortly. Okay, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We're going to open up the mic and make the floor available for those of you who like to offer something relative to our discussion today or some other material that would help us be the best of ourselves. Feel free. So the floor is available and the mic is open.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. You know, there's so much that going on in the world today. There's so much that happened to us as a people here in America. And we want to look at it in another different way, a better way for the mercy that Allah has given us as a people. And you know, the concept is that remember always that Allah is in charge, and blackness will never be greater than God consciousness. It was a statement that Brother Imam here made last week in reference to something DeSantis had said about we benefit from the gang of slavery, right? And when you look at the context of us being here in America, period, and our sojourn here, and how we had grown and developed ourselves here and inside of our lives we have been playing. Not what basically we can see, but our lives will in plan. Those who have been put in that position where they abuse us, misuse us, and oppress us, they pay for that. And no matter what kind of game they play in words and how they want to flower it up so they can cover up their racism and their political agenda or stuff like that, that's their business. But they can't fool our lives. But we want to have some kind of peace in our soul by the work we're doing. So we don't want to give Shaitan no kind of edge on us, because he don't have it. You see? So we don't feel downhearted because Allah said that he put us in a toil and struggle. accept the terror, accept the struggle, and accept Allah's mercy, and our growth and development. Because Israeli, you know, in different other corners, yeah, like I say, Israel, I have to deal with that because of the fact that the way they treated, they had been treating the Palestinians. You see, and something is being done about it. You know, so here it is, we in a position, if we strongly believe what I mean, what the Muhammad told, he said, this is our turn. He said, if this is your turn, we act like this is our turn. We practice our religion like it's our turn. We make the efforts in business life, in economic life, in government, and education to stand up and show the blessing and the mercy that Allah and the power that Allah have given us. Because why? He is the giver. And the gift is what? The gift is our salvation. On the other hand, we can save our own self. But we don't want to look at what's going on in the world or be some kind of victim. We not victims. We the ones giving out the mercy now. We supposed to be comforting the ones who are being oppressed out there, who misunderstand the scriptures. We have the completion of the Quran. We have the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, his lifestyle. So praise be to Allah for the extraction that Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad gave us out of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet in the direction he gave us, and also those who are taking the inheritance of that knowledge that he gave us, and we improving on it. And praise be to Allah for the young youth people in the leadership class that here and they taking care of business. And look, don't get in their way. You know, support their efforts. If you know if they're giving classes on different things, they'll sit down and listen to what they have to say and enjoy them. And so praise be to Allah for what Imam Muhammad has left us, and the fact that Imam Muhammad was utilized by Allah. That's a power of sojourn that Imam Muhammad went through in life. That wasn't nothing small. You see, he didn't cry because they kicked him out of the nation Islam. He said, all praise be to Allah. And we feel that same way. And we feel that love and respect for him and who we are too as a people. Amen. As a people who being vindicated. You want reparation? You have Islam. You have al-Islam. Utilize what you have. Get your own reparation. You know how the political arena is right now. If it happened, it happened. I'm not waiting on that. I got al-Islam now. You know, we're going to that business arena. You see, poverty is huge. And Dr. Thomas Jensen cure it. Y'all know how I feel in the day. So praise be to Allah. You know, to Allah, Wagbar. This is you, man. As-salamu alaykum.
That's Malel on the call.
And
greetings of peace to everyone, Juma Mubarak. Here on AM360, we do have ones who diligently listened to the khutbah. And part of Share Your Juma, just to share with everyone, is that we do bring forth that which is happening in our community, if we want to share that, especially from the imams that lead the khutbah. In their community, and hear some words from those who are listening to see that we're absorbing, and many times we just want to hear and let it just soak in. What I'd like to just share in three words, as Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah shared, that he says, teach, practice, and live the religion of al-Islam.
Amen.
So alhamdulillah. So what we do here, if no one has any comments, we'll go on and we'll share a presentation from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah, and then I'll connect over to with the local area here, everyone who's listening, with the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association, as we're continuing with activities here, taking a stand, as we are always doing. But today's message from Imam Warsi Muhammad is from 1989. It's on world leadership, Muslim world leadership. That's what we'll be sharing once we're, no one's pressing one. Okay. Imam, back to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you very much. And we're very grateful to have AM360 with us. You know, it's always a pleasure. So someone who have not had an opportunity, you know, the floor is available.
All right, dear listeners, excuse me. All right, so what we're going to do is, as we stated, we're going to be sharing one of the presentations from Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah, mercy of Almighty God be upon him, is what I'm saying. One moment here. Oh, excuse me. It was bleeding over on into the other line as they were letting me know. Working this technology here. All right. Dear listeners, again, Muslims in World Leadership, Imam Warsi Muhammad, rahimahullah. Get the sound up here.
Assalamu alaikum, and peace be unto you. We witness that there is but one Lord and Creator, only one God, one divine, that is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Proper name for Muslims, the most proper name for Muslims, and most common name for Muslims is Allah, and we simply say God in English or in the West. And we witness also that Muhammad, the prophet, is Allah's last prophet and messenger. And we believe in Allah, and we believe in his messenger, and we strive to obey Allah, and we know obedience to his messenger is obedience to Allah. So Allah has established the messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and Allah established his life, and Allah said of him that he was of most excellent conduct, and Allah says of him that he is a model for any who believe in Allah and the last day. So we accept him, we believe in him, and we trust in him, and we strive always to live the life of the Muslim, of this religion, al-Islam, which is the life of Muslims. We pray the peace and the blessings of Allah, prayers and the peace be on Muhammad the Prophet and on his descendants, his companions, the righteous all. And we pray peace and the blessings of Allah be on us. Given mostly with the Muslim community at large in mind, the international Muslim community. And we hope that this address will reach many in the international Muslim community, in the international Muslim population of this earth. And you've already heard the number, a great number, about 1 billion people. It is said 1 out of 5, as that has been already said too. 1 out of 5 persons on this earth is declared Muslim. We are addressing the recognized role for Muslims. and world leadership. There are many ways to see. I've heard different qualified speakers speak on our most important concerns, and I have enjoyed and appreciated what they had to offer. However, sometimes it's the thing that seems to be not so important that is the most important. When our Prophet Muhammad preached the religion and lived the religion, he worked hard for growth in individuals. He worked hard for growth, I repeat, in individuals, associates, most of whom were his companions and associates before he became prophet. They were either associated with him as friends, as Abu Bakr, the Siddiq, may God be pleased with him, or they were relatives, like the great Ali ibn Khattab, pleased with him. So, the prophet had an interest in people building up women, building up men, building up children. He would have conversations with children. He would talk to the youngsters. He had an interest in building up individuals. But we don't look at him that way. It's not the habit of us to see the prophet in that light and in that role. Our habit is to see him as the leader of the multitude, which he was, which he is, still now. He's leader of the multitude. So how can that be? And as much as we obey and follow him, he is leader where we are leaders. Wherever we are leaders, he is leader in the degree that we obey him, that we accept him and love him and obey him. He's still the leader, and he's the leader. We think of him as the leader of the multitudes, and we think of him, his main work is the work of trying to build a nation. Yes, to build a community, the ummah. But if you study Quran, you will see that the Quran does not show an effort, a plan to build a community. There's no effort, no plan shown in the Quran to build a community. There's an effort and plan there to build people individually. To build people individually. The ummah is mentioned later. And when the ummah is mentioned, it's mentioned in connection with people who first must be built up. Build up people, then you have a community. Allah says, you are the best community. Now he says it, but something has already happened. He says, brought out for the good of all people. You've already been brought out. You have been brought out. Now there's a community. How were they brought out? Was there a call? Community of Muslims, come alive. Community that God wants, come alive. Come into existence. That's not the way it was done. The appeal was made to the individual concerns, the individual problems, the individual interests, the individual's nature, most of all. The address was made to the individual and to awaken the individual and get the individual turned on. Once the individual is turned on in the way Allah wants us to be turned on, everything else follows of natural consequence. So what are we overlooking in the world? too much excited about competing with others. We're too excited about competing with others. We know we have to be aware of the competition, opposition, competition. We have to be aware of that, prepared for opposition, for competition. We have to be prepared for that. But that's not what the Muslim life is about. The Muslim life is about establishing the person that Allah wants, walking on this earth, living on this earth, achieving on this earth. That's what the religion is about, establishing that person that Allah wants. So we began with the idea of one. Allah created Adam. Adam, one person, one man, one person. And from that one person, he made mate, male and female. And then from the two of them, he made all of us. So how did the community of the world start? It started with an interest in one person. And that interest in one person was Allah's interest. It started with Allah's interest in Adam. And from Adam, we get the whole humanity, the millions and billions now populating the earth. The focus was on one. And Allah says in the Holy Book, in the Quran, your life and resurrection is like that of one person. One person. What is that saying to us? That is saying to us, if you want to resurrect the whole people, resurrect, concentrate on the individual. If you want to resurrect the whole people, concentrate on the individual. Because they're not one solid body. They are bodies in a group. They are single bodies in a group. And if you address the unit, you reach the community. If you address the unit, you reach the group. If you can excite the unit, you can excite the many. Why? Because though they are distinguished one from another by their name, by their levels of ability, and so forth, by their race, though they are distinguished in these many ways, there is a type that represents self and person for all of them. There is a type. There's an essential type we call the essential human type that Allah wants. And if you address that type that Allah wants, you will be addressing all of them individually. You will be addressing all of them equally. You won't be favoring any of them. You won't be overlooking any of them. You will be treating them all equal and treating them equally if you address the essential human person, the essential human type that Allah wants in all of us and that Allah created in all of us. He made all of us that. In the Constitution of these United States, we find an identity for man. Not all men, but American man, for the citizens of America. We find identity there. And that identity, though put in the male, it is for females also. There's an identity there. We hold these truths that all men are created equal. So there the Constitution recognizes the sameness for all people. A sameness for all people. They are created equal. Are created by that, that all people, that man, funny, we hold these truths, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator. So there the Constitution of these United States recognizing a creator, are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, certain rights that shouldn't be violated, with certain rights that shouldn't be taken away from them. That's what it means. And among these, it goes on to say, life. So the Constitution of the United States does not base itself upon the identity of a race. It does not base itself upon the identity of a nationality. It bases itself upon the common type, the universal type, the person that all of us, the identity upon that. The Constitution, I've read it. You read it not written for a particular racial man or a nationalistic man. It's written for the universal man. It's based upon the life, needs, and aspirations of the universal man, the common type, the person that's in every one of us the same, no different. That's the man that Allah created. That's the man Allah created. That's the man Allah wants in all of us men. If you understand, that's the same person Allah created in you and the same person Allah wants in you. Now, it so happens that in time, man gets off the natural track. Allah created him on that natural track. In time, he gets off the natural track. And he loses his original nature. He loses his original form of life. And Allah has to reestablish him. He repents. He's burdened. And pretty soon, he knows that something is wrong. And he'll cry out for help. And Allah will answer him every time he turns to him. Allah comes to answer him and establish him again. So what is that precious, precious role for us that we should be aware of? Establishment of the human person. Now, what do we mean by establishment of the human person? By establishment, I'm referring to the evolved human person. The evolved human person. So when we look at something as simple as a wheat plant, the wheat, you know, wheat that just make bread, a wheat. When we look at something as simple as that, with a head on it, but how is it identified? The wheat plant is not identified for its root. It's not identified for its stem or the blade. It's identified for its product. The roots come, the blade shoots up, and it grows all up, and it gets ahead of it. And after a while, the last thing, now all plants are not identified for their seed. An apple tree is identified for its fruit with the seeds in it. But a wheat is identified for its seed. Why? Because man appreciates a thing for its worth. And Allah gave man to give names to things. We know that in the story of Adam. He created Adam and then empowered Adam to give names to things. So man gives names to things according to the worth of those things to him. So the apple is desired for the whole apple, not for the seeds and the core. He was more attracted to the whole apple, so he named the tree, apple tree, and we think of apple, not seed. But he valued the seed of that wheat plant more than he did the other part of it, the foundation, the roots, the stem, and all that, the grass. You know, the grass looks pretty, but he didn't name it for the grass. He named it for the product, the seed. He named it wheat. And we make thick the wheat and we make bread. Value the wheat for the bread, for the wheat and the plant for wheat seed and the bread that we make from the seed. Likewise for all the things. If you study all the things that man has made, it's not. Sometimes you find something going off. That's why we're talking about the subject. Looks like something went off, but he didn't follow the same logic. Something went off. Just like right now, we call black people. Something's going on. Are we valued for blackness? Color of our skin? If that's so, we're certainly deeply valued. If that's the worst that people see in us now, is our skin color, we have a cheap value on us. Well, you may say, well, what about other people? What about the Chinese? When you say Chinese, right away you think about a people in culture, a people in history. Right away. When you say black, think about a people in racial confrontation. You think about the burden on the people. But when you say Chinese, you think about Eku Youngin, Fred White. Right away, you start thinking of what those people are known for, what they do. You start thinking of the positive things about those people. They're worse to you. As soon as we say black, right away, racial vibrations go all through the audience. It automatically kick off racial vibrations as soon as we say black. So something has gone wrong. We should be promoting concern for the establishment of the human nature and the human person. That means so much. That means so much. But that's not enough. We have another side to it too. And that is the promotion of growth, for the intellect. Man is valued, first of all, for his excellent form among the many forms that Allah creates. The human form is seen as the most excellent. I don't want to be any other form. Maybe you do, I don't. I can find somebody here that's dissatisfied with their form, but I wouldn't want to be any other form. And, you know, I know about angels, too, and I respect them and I love them, too, and value them in God's scheme. But I don't want to be angel either in many of my mind and my mind and properties and behavior, respective behavior. I would like to be angelic in some certain respect, but I don't want to be an angel. Because an angel was limited. If they weren't limited, they could have named the things. When Allah asked them to name the things, they could not. And then Allah didn't choose the angel to be the Khalifa. He chose the human, Adam, to be the Khalifa. And we know that that Khalifa, that man, that Khalifa, that great type that we're talking about now, that we all hope to grow into with our toys, for the fulfillment of our needs inside and outside too. We know that Khalifa is to really be seen in Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be on him, if we understand. He is the fulfillment of that Khalifa. The Khalifa himself was in evolution. So he had to be gradually brought to his completion. Adam was not the final prophet. Prophet Muhammad is the final prophet. Adam is not the seal of the prophets. Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. Likewise, if you go behind the prophets, for the earlier prophets, none of them represented the seal or completion or conclusion. Only Prophet Muhammad represented that. And that is why in the heavens, it was our prophet who led all of them in prayer, the leader for all of them, which means that they represent a progression towards completion. Yes, a progression towards completion. It begins with the first step and then a second step. So it was that the first man was a long way from that final completion that Allah wanted for prophethood. He was a long way from that. He, in his soul, in his aspiration, he was aiming and we're reaching for that. Adam himself was reaching to become Muhammad. And every prophet behind him was reaching to become Muhammad. And finally, Muhammad comes. He is the human destiny and the Khalifa, the destiny for the Khalifa. He is the destiny. He is the end product. He is the completion for all of them. And that urge is enough. He's not prophet. But that urge is enough to live the fullness of the identity that Allah created for us. To live that identity, to come into that identity, to come completely into it, to be the complete person, the complete human being that Allah intended us to be. He intended all of us reach fulfillment. We won't be prophets, but he intended that all of us reach the fulfillment. If he didn't, then he wouldn't have told us that we find, that you will find in Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, to become that complete man, that complete person. Praise be to Allah. There are Arabic terms for this. There are Arabic terms for the complete man. Sometimes it's called also the perfect man. And that's one thing we can be. We can be perfect human beings. Perfect human beings doesn't mean that you don't make a mistake sometimes. Beings, that means God. We can never be anything but a small and illegitimate God. But all of us can be great human beings. So what is overlooked, in my opinion, the thing that's hurting us most is that we are putting too many things ahead of the greatest concern, and that is the promotion of established human person, established human person, and the promotion of growth in the intellect for all people. You will find that some societies will be failing because they are not promoting established human person. Established human person. Now remember what I said about established. I mean evolved. The evolved human person. Human person in his aim, in his natural aim, in his inherent aim. Coming, he's growing into that. He's come into that. The human being in his evolved concept. Not in his growing or baby or feeble, weak. No. He's born like that. Allah says we all are born weak, and we know that. We're born babies. We all are born weak. But that's not the end product that Allah wants. When we look at the seeds we sow as a farmer, that's not the end product we want. Environment, and we hope that in time you'll get the end product we want. So if somebody say, hey, what do you care about all those little trash there or look like little rocks? What do you care about that stuff? If they don't know what comes from those little rocky-looking things, they will say, hey, why do you waste your time throwing all those little rocks around? All day long you're throwing all these little rocks and stuff around. And they come 2 months later, and the man there eating something and feeding the bird. It got spinning and running a big truck and a car and everything. And got a processing factory and everything. Well, I understand now. It's the same for us. You know, we look at the human being in his weakness, in his undeveloped state, and we esteem him to be nothing. Huh? Oh, trash people. Some of us will say that was the attitude of society, to look at certain individuals that were non-productive. Trash, inferior trash. And they abused them, took advantage of them, and even suppressed them and kept them on the level of trash, kept them in a situation of trash because they didn't have any regard for them, no respect for them. Allah wants us to have a regard for just like the seed that the farmer regards. Not he doesn't regard it for what it is now. He regards that seed for what that seed will be. He regards that seed for what that seed can become. He's looking at what the potential in that seed. He appreciates that seed and values it for potential. He would say, yeah, I know this is nothing but a seed, but this is a potential from being hungry for one day. You see? Yeah, one corn stalk. Saying that one seed is a potential corn stalk. And there's going to be several years on that one corn stalk from this one tree. Quran mentions this, huh? And there, and on each ear of corn, there are going to be hundreds of grains. Hundreds of seeds. So he looks at it and values it, not for what it is at that particular time, but for what it will be. And this is something we are overlooking. But I say we are not talking about us just here in America, or just certainly not here in this place here today, in Macomic Inn Hotel. Saying this, I'm not talking about what we're overlooking. I'm talking about the nations, the societies of the world. The societies of the world. And who are responsible for the behavior of the societies of the world? It is the so-called established who we're talking about. And that's, those are the people we're hoping to reach today. See that there's a greater purpose and a greater role that we are playing down. We are overlooking. And Muslims have left it centuries ago. It didn't just happen. They left it centuries ago. But Muhammad came and he worked hard to build up the human establishment. The human establishment. To build up the dignity and worth of one single person, male and female equally. It takes too much to go over all the history. That's not the object today. The object today is just to point to a great concern that I think is hurting us all over the Muslim world, throughout the international Muslim world, because we have given other things more priority than that thing. And it should be given the greatest priority. You know that war zones are made because that particular duty is overlooked. If we work hard to build up the human person, we would have much less trouble of war zones all over this planet Earth. Certainly, if we had been working in the Middle East to build up the natural human person and his human excellence that Allah intended for him, before 1947 or whenever Palestine came into existence, if we had been working for it in the Middle East, there would never have been a fate imposed upon the population there. Those human beings would have been so excellent in their human form and in their human nature, there would have been a great number of them representing a strong, even though they be a minority, there would have been a strong minority of them that demand respect. And the whole international world would say, no, they can't do that to the Middle East. We would have had enough support all throughout the international world to say, no, you cannot do that to the Middle East. But when we fail our responsibility to attend the need to establish the human excellence that Allah wants in us, the purpose for which Muhammad came and presented himself and God presented him, that purpose, when we fail that, dear people, we invite all kind of trouble. And we won't have the sympathy of the majority of civilized people on our side because they say you've neglected your human life. You've neglected your human life. And because you've neglected to establish your human life, human life is not play and fun and foolishness and making babies and sex and all that stuff. Human life is human intelligence. Human life is human intelligence, human conscience based in human intelligence. And it includes so many other great concerns and aspirations. Human life is the first building block for civilization. That's what human life is. True human life is the first building block for civilization. Just like I was talking about that farmer with his seemingly worthless seeds, those who don't know what seeds are. Yes. So you throw out a human life in its right form and put it in its right environment. If you value the human person, you're going to make the environment respect that human person. A man goes and he works hard to build a nice home. He makes a nice home. He labors hard. He sweats for weeks and months to build a nice home. What is he building that home for? Why is he sweating the day after day? Why is he stacking up all of his money and everything? He wants an environment for something he values. He wants an environment for something he values. That's his life. That's himself. That's the children he hopes to have, how they hope to have. Yes. That's the kind of work you get when you really appreciate the life and know the value of the human person. Oh, yes. Similar to the same way it is for the whole civilization. When we appreciate the individual and value the individual, we will build a great house we call civilization. We will build a great house we call nation. We will build a great house we call the United States of America. Don't you know the idea, whatever we find of value in this great nation you call the United States, don't you know it was built, it was requisitioned, you know, Allah wants. Maybe when he first come here, he doesn't impress us very much. But Allah says, wait. Yeah, certain number in the, among the angels. The priest was the great rebel, the most notorious of those that looked down on what Allah was about to do. But Allah told him, wait. Say, wait until I have breathed into him of my spirit. Well, what is that? Of my purpose, of my will. Wait until he be inspired with my will and be inspired with my purpose and be motivated by my will and be motivated by my purpose. He said, then, And all of this is naturally in us. All of this is our native potential. It's our natural born potential. All of us are born with this. And don't you know that's what the Constitution is saying of that great human sight? That every person is born qualified for what we are granting this citizen of the United States. Every to the world qualified for it. Because we can't give it to it. It has been given to him by his creator. Endowed by his creator with certain inalienable rights. One of these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now you think that ain't Islamic? That is Islamically focused. May I repeat that? That is Islamically. And I have studied the Bible, and I have found great signs of the great wisdom of the high wisdom in the Bible, the great plan in the Bible. I have studied other religions, and I have studied the other the books by great writers, great philosophers, and political idealists, et cetera. I have studied, and I haven't yet come up with anything that is more evident than the Quran as the support for the great vision of the founding fathers of these United States. I'm sure they read the Bible and they read Plato and they read the great Greek philosophers. I'm sure they read all of that, but I'm sure that they had to stumble down that road until they got the Quran. We are not talking about proven by history that the Quran, Prophet Muhammad demonstrating it, made possible the rejuvenation of the fallen nations of Europe and that more ancient world back then. They had fallen. And it was the Quran, the presence of the Quran, and our prophet demonstrating that life, demonstrating it, that made possible their reawakening, their revival, their renaissance, the return of civilization and excellent standards for them. The Quran and our prophet. And what Allah said, that he has brought us out of the darkness into the light. You know what that means? Out of ignorance, savagery, into civilization and higher learning, great intellect, higher education. The work of a prophet is the work of a civilized, especially when he finds his people without civilization. The work of a prophet is the work of a civilized. The greatest civilized in the history of man is Muhammad, the prophet, peace and blessings be on him. And look how tactful Allah made our prophet. So he tells us certain things to do, almost apologetic, because he knows the weakness of the unestablished person. In his excellence, I'm talking about that excellence, evolved excellence. Says, God does not want to hurt you, but he wants that you be purified. Isn't that so nice? Oh, that's so nice. Such a loving God. You know, you'll never find that kind of kindness and love and consideration typical even in the best mother. Sometimes those you manifest it, you know. mother, but I said it's not common and typical. The average mother, look at it, boy. Now, I've been teaching you to wash your face, clean your stinking self up for years. And you still got to tell you to go to washroom. Get to the washroom and do something about your stinking self. There are a whole peninsula of stinking people over there. In what is now called Arabia. Only a few, there's a very few. He had to search with Sherlock Holmes. He had to search with Sherlock Holmes' looking glass to find the one that wasn't stinking. Whole peninsula over there stinking. And look how kind Allah was. Clean up yourself. Now, it's not my desire. I don't like to see you burdened, but I wish that you be purified. Beautiful. And that's another thing we overlook. We overlook the heart of Al-Islam that appeals to our strong human sentiment. We overlook that part of Al-Islam. And we are, in doing that, we are overlooking our role to advance that, to promote that. If we were sympathizing that we should be in that regard, we wouldn't have waited for the United States of America to progress its democracy and to grow to where its people have the conscience to go and look for suffering people and try to bring aid to them, to look for the sick, to look for the hungering people, to look for the neglected, the uneducated, and to try to bring information, intelligence, and education to them. We wouldn't have waited. We would have been working hard, like the Prophet Muhammad and his, we would have been working hard to go to the aid of anyone who has fallen from the pedestal of established person, established human being. We would have been going to that aid. We wouldn't have waited for the civil rights movement. We wouldn't have waited for the protest, the demand for that this civilization claiming to be the highest civilization on earth to release its slaves, to stop discriminating against them, to stop making double laws, treating one as an animal and the other as a human person. We wouldn't have waited. We would have found some strategy, even if we didn't have the material might. If we had been sympathized, as we should be sympathized throughout the international Islamic world, we, our leaders, our people in government positions, our people over institutions, our people over the nation, our people over the economy, our people over the product of the country, people in power, people with power, they would have insisted that an attempt be made to shame America, and to bring America from its ignorance and from its abuse of the people now we call African Americans up there. Yes, there was a voice coming out of the Middle East saying our prophet came, and he had a great strategy for correcting this wrong in society. May we share with you this strategy. Couldn't get any results. They would have been maybe even a stronger appeal and did something even more embarrassing for America. They would have said, look, rather than see that those human beings treated like that, they're human beings. Have them come here. Our country's open. Send them over here. They'll be better over here living with us in our level, on our level of development, industrial development, or economic development. They'll be better over here living with us than living in that misery you have them in. They would say, well, may we have an opportunity to take that burden off of you. May we invite them to become Muslims. May we invite them to join us in a Muslim land where they will not be treated as subhuman. But there was no effort. No effort. Why? Because they had lost something. Wherever Prophet Muhammad found people mistreated, like animals, treated harshly and cruelly, his anger went against those people that were treating them harshly and cruelly. And he wanted them to hear the message, the call of Al-Islam, so that they won't tolerate any more the abuses that they were receiving. Look, the great message, the feeling message of Al-Islam to the dignity and to the great He came to him and said, how much you want for him? And he paid the man, he paid Lau, who was of our color, even darker than me. He paid for Bilal's freedom. Because Bilal didn't want to worship falsehood and didn't want to be subhuman anymore. Now you have now a real example of what is given in the word. Allah never changes the state of a people until they change what is in their heart or what is in their soul. Yes, it says, be unfulfilled him. Until they change, be unfulfilled him. Until they change what is bothering or disturbing their person or their soul. So none of us can really say in truth that our soul, by the way of life, that the average one of us are living in America? No, none of us can say that. The way of life that the average one of us gives ourselves to, or him or herself to, in America, is a burden on our conscience. But since the great many are doing it, and the establishment or the superculture supports it and promotes it, we don't have nothing to prick our conscience. Nothing to remind us of the shame but our own little selves. And most of the time we can't be in privacy with ourselves to even hear our own individual voice or complaint against the state of life that has been cut out for us in America. So we can only hear the approval coming from the many, coming from the television, coming from the newspapers, coming from the many. We can only hear the approval. We have to fight like the Dickens to go and hear what our own soul is whispering. We have to cut off the TV. We have to cut the record player off. We have to maybe leave the house. Now, you know, the prophet had to leave the city and go up in the mountain away from everybody to hear his better side, his better voice, and hope that Allah would speak to him through it. You know, we have to do something. I don't think there's a mountain far enough away from all of this trouble and confusion we have in these big cities of America. The ignorant lifestyle, reckless, destructive lifestyle, the noise. If you ain't used to it, you get shocked. You may have a heart attack. Yes, if you can make one room soundproof and you go and stay in that room for 3 days, and then come out of that room, you might have a heart attack. There's the easier situation, the automobile. Just let one of these average youngsters have your automobile. And when he gets through with it, you get in there and turn on the motor. You get in there and turn on the ignition. And when the ignition comes on, the radio will come on at the same time, and you might have a heart attack. Sound like an explosion. You turn the car on, the radio come on, sound like an explosion. And they're used to that. They like that. They just in the car, just going right on it. Now, why they got to try to look crazy, too? It ain't enough to be acting like that. It got to look up. You know, he's saying with his face, everything is out of order. One eye. Now, you know, they used to have in primitive societies, might even find one now, somewhere in the jungle, in primitive societies, they used to have witch doctors, magic men, who would work tricks on the behavior. And sometimes his medicines and chemistry, chemicals, would send some of them just into that kind of shape. They'd be, and if he ain't getting no obedience from him, he'll punch him to catch. You see the catch? You'll beware, he'll be cursed, I put a curse on him. Civilized society find that kind of a thing existing. They go in there and kill the rich doctor. Kill it. Now who's gonna come here and kill the rich doctor that's got our young boy? Now who gonna find the rich doctor that's got your son or your child behaving like that and kill him? Don't you know that kind of thing couldn't happen? That evil couldn't get to that degree if we had respect for building up the human person. Our religion and Islam obligates us, Allah obligates us by what the Prophet is established for, and by the Quran, he obligates us to work always to keep and protect and keep an environment and a situation for the excellent human life Allah created and intended to grow and flower in the human being. Yes, we are obligated to do that. So whenever we see society falling off the great pedestal of human excellence, we should be troubled and alarmed to the extent we organize together. And if we can't make an appeal safely and get rid of doing that evil, we have to meet even in secret and plan and work together. For what? Allah says that most of the secret meetings are for no good. The secret meetings are only good if they are made for what? To promote righteousness, decency, fair dealing, respect between person and person. Now, I hope we don't go too long here. I'm going to try to keep it within reasonable time. Let us look now at an automobile. We have to understand that just looking to par is far from being enough. And that's what this world, you don't have to be anything. Just look to par. Muslims, we can't accept that. The hollow vessel with nothing in it is good for nothing but the fire. That's our opinion. You must have the established substance that Allah wants there. You look at a car and you see, oh, that beautiful car. Might look like it just came from the showroom. Look at that beautiful car. And you admire it. Oh, how nice it is. Now, if you go to start it up and nothing happens, third wheel and it's loose. You know it ain't connected to nothing. You hit the brakes and they loose too, so they ain't connected to nothing. You go to match the button and roll the windows up, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look how the worth of that car has fallen. Well, that's the same way it is for a human being that look like us in picture, look like what Allah wants in picture, but when we communicate with them, we find reaching under the cover. So it says the light. Allah says that he will give us a life, a good life. Allah promised us that he will give us a good life. He will establish us in a good life. He promised us a good life. The good life is this ideal destiny that we're talking about for the human person. That's the good life that we want. We naturally are growing toward it if we'll just listen to our better motor salvation. We're naturally growing into it, but we need the help of Allah. We cannot realize it as to our satisfaction without the help of Allah. And we will lose what we gain if we don't at some point turn earnestly seeking the help of Allah. Not any imaginary God, the real God. Yeah. So a functioning person, we have to have that Allah intended for that person, the human properties, the human nature, and the properties operating. They have to be working. They have to be working and operating. A functional being has to be in this picture here. A functioning human being, a functioning person. Now, if society will affect my behavior in such ways that my mind, my human sentiments are no longer suiting or meeting this identity, agreeing in this identity, then what have we here? We have a foreign life created, or we have a dead fact. No matter what we have, we don't have the human type in there. The human being is for all and this is purpose dead. Dead, not there. Just like that car, beautiful picture, dead. Dead car. Nobody want a dead car. Now, by design, we're human beings. And by design, what we mean when we say we're human beings, we mean we're creatures of intelligence, or creatures with great potential for intelligent behavior, intelligent life, intelligent aspiration. That's what we mean. Now, Ellis now values the human person essentially, basically, for that excellence, that superiority in him over other creatures. He's valued for his intellect. He's valued for his intelligence. Read the Quran over and over and see what is the language there. The language is questioning men's disrespect for the value of intellect and intelligence in the human being. So whether we have 90% in this audience or in our association, 90% that love stupidity, care nothing about education, that doesn't hurt at all or change at all. Our determination to bring to their conscience, the great value of intellect that Allah created in them. So our duty is to go to people who are behaving crazy, behaving like animals that are born insane, people that disrespect things that should be respected, people that are abusing themselves and destroying themselves and ignoring their obligation to their family and to their community, to their neighborhood. I mean by community, their neighborhood. See the human being in its true worth. And realize that everyone has that great possession. Every child is first born in the world with that great possession. And all they have to do is change their attitude, change their other disposition, and get a spirit to follow Bush then. Don't go there and tell them that you have to have faith in Prophet Muhammad if you expect to change. Don't go there and say, oh, you first have to believe in Allah before there be any change. Some morals and you get some good morals and before you have any change. Don't say that. Go and say you have already in you what is needed to make you better than the people you're associating with. You already have with you in your possession the equipment that you need to rise up from this low level and compete with you are now dependent upon. That's the way we should talk to them. But look, you were created to be a sentimental person with human sentiments, to be caring and loving. Yes, that's true. And you were created to be strong and muscular and to push you around. You were created to display authority and to feel good over power. That's true. But most importantly, you were created an intellect. And if you respect yourself as a creature of intelligence, you will have all the other changes you need coming after that. We first, we should appeal to people to respect themselves as creatures of intelligence. Here again is an overlooked role for Muslims in world leadership. When you think of world leadership, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about industry? Are you thinking about political philosophy, political ideologies? Are you thinking about business opportunities, the growth of wealth? Yes, all of that is world leadership, but that can't get anywhere until they're worth established in people. And that's why America has fallen so much as an industrial power and has fallen so much as a leader among nations. It is because this precious foundation that we've been talking about now for hours, has been neglected. It has not only been neglected, it has been warred upon. Yeah, and that's why we have the big problem we have now. That's why we have a loss of steam for the country that we have now. And that's why they don't see a quick turning point for the country, because there's no quick turning point for this terrible neglected foundation, the human foundation. See, the Muslims shouldn't be going about the world telling other nations, true, but that's not enough. You should choose to be free because God loves you. You should choose to be free because you're a human being just like everybody else. That's good, but that's not enough. Because when you say a human being just like everybody else, that youngster that's going about it, that guy, when you say you're a human being like everybody else, he says, yeah, man, that's awesome. He has gotten attached to another meaning for human, and he ain't nowhere in touch with the meaning that Allah intends for him. So it ain't enough to go back and tell him, yeah, you're human. We did that in America. Now, when I say we, I mean the country. I did that in America during the 60s. All the trouble came out, and what happened? It came with that sweet talk. Love. Got enough love for everybody. Stranger walking down the street, want to kiss you. Peace and love. Yeah, that happened right in the city. And then after a while, we saw them with cats in the house, and they weren't just for pets, they were for eating. Yeah, you remember? Yeah. Same way we walked, but for protest against the establishment, they're going to live off of cat meat. Yeah, this is in the news. Yeah. Ivy niggas, too. Yeah, among these people that did that were some Ivy niggas. Those who were once the leading students in some of the best colleges of the United States. Time, what happened? They became so soft, they weren't good for that. I'm talking about the majority. Majority of Americans became so soft, they're not good for anything. They ain't good to keep strong homes. They're not good to keep a strong job market. No. Job market weak, because ain't no strong disciplines in the workers of the job market. So the country has to save itself and open change the immigration laws and everything to encourage more stronger people from societies that wasn't affected like this to come into America and give America a few more years to live. Yeah. So you want to know why all these different people come from all over the world? Because ain't no people in the United States to hold the United States up. We've been wiped out by ignorant, abnormal behavior. pain, that's the hurt on us who have let ourselves fall like that in the United States. That on our institution and our leaders who allowed that and didn't come out strongly against it, even if they had to go to civil war. Civil war would have been better. But it wouldn't, they wouldn't have had to go to that extent. Could have brought us back to our senses. But that was big dollars, big money, easy, quick dollars. See, a foolish person, you can get all that money. I was reading the other day where we, as a people, African Americans, spending 8% of the national spending. We represent 8%, so this report says, of the national spending. We are not 8% of the population, spending much more than is represented by our share, our numbers in the population of this country. And that tells us what? That our spending indicates that we are well off in this country, materially or financially. Our spending, if people look at nothing but our, the record of our spending, that data says that these people are better off financially than most of the Americans, spending much more than our share in the population. You understand what I'm saying? Our share in the number of people in this country. says that we should be spending much less than what we are spending. What are we now? What's 11% or more? 12% maybe of the population? They say about 11%. They say we're about 11% of the population. So here we represent 11% of the population. Whole national spending for all the whole country. And just 11% of the population. And we say we are poor. There are other groups that I'm sure represent much bigger numbers than that of the population. And we don't need any figures to tell us what's happening. You go to any house of these people that call themselves poor, go there and see how they live. You go into what they call a middle-class white, middle-class European American, and they won't have, on the whole, you won't find them with as many cars and as latest cars and models, as many TVs, as many phones, as much carpet. Find them with that. You won't find them with as many refrigerators and as much stuff in the refrigerator. We can kill the baby crawling around the refrigerator by opening the door. And another good indication of our heavy spending, that we spend more than other Americans. You know, and we're not even talking about the rich minority. There's a powerfully rich minority that's making all so much, a million times the money that we make as individuals. Million times our salary. They're making million times our salary. And some of us have as much consumer product in our house, in our environment, as those people making all that stuff. And then we say we're poor. How can you be poor? How are you poor? And you got a big car, all the cars out in front of your house. Car, your wife got a car. Sometimes you got two, she got one. Three or four teenagers in the family, each one got a car. You need a parking lot for your car. A garage or something. City garage, a parking lot or something. Just for the car. For you poor. Go to that house. I guarantee, I'm not exaggerating. Go to that house where the two grown ups got three cars. And two or three or more teenagers, each one of them got a car. Go to that house. And stay there long enough, and you'll see the lights go off, the phone go off. It's their house, so they don't get no society knows of that. They just lose them all. The whole house. In time, the whole house gone. Is it a moral issue? Certainly it is. Is it a social issue? Yes, it is. A family issue? Yes, it is. But more accurately in our identification, identifying the problem, it is an issue of ignorance. The failure of that person to be intelligent. Nothing dignifies us more than an appreciation for intelligence. Don't you know that? Nothing disciplines us more for a better performance than an appreciation for our intelligence. Appreciation for my black skin is nothing like as powerful as my appreciation for my intelligence. In affecting change in me for the better, making me a better person, making me a more productive person, more progressive person, a more aggressive person for good. No, nothing in me, no sense in me of myself is more productive or more powerful for my future than my sense of intelligence and respect for my sense of intelligence. People that run the world, not people that look at themselves in the morning to see how, what color they're getting. Oh, baby, I'm looking a little pinkish today, huh? Oh, boy, I got to do something about that. You know, that's my pride. So he's looking in the mirror and seeing an intelligent person, an intelligent manager of finances, an intelligent manager of property, an intelligent manager of employee, a manager of employees. He's looking at an intelligent person. Our religion requires of us that we promote the human type that Allah wants in us and that we promote the growth of intelligence in that type. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
C-SPAN 2 programming information is...
All right, dear listeners. As-salamu alaykum again. This is Martha Naila Abdullah. I pray. Oh, we could replay this over and over again, right? If you have any comments before we go out, we're going to share public service announcements. We'll get more information tonight to share with you on I believe, August 12th, next weekend, where a collection of artists will be performing in the Northeast area. I have to get the information again on just where. But look forward to that tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, starting with Community Developmental Stages, p.m. Inshallah, Eastern Standard Time will be Community, CWSC, Community Buzz, and the question is, have you heard? Any information you want to share, please join us right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Speaking of intellect, what can we say more about what we just heard? It is not a game. It is not playtime. And as we heard the imam from Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz, the darkness and the light. And so I don't need to repeat. I know you have it down pat, perhaps. And with that, let's go to our public service announcement, shall we? And then we'll end out with a little of humanity is everybody's business. And then after that, we will say, you've got to be thankful. All right?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition. and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the community-wide serial conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
And now, just preceding that, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
But they gotta be thankful.
They
gotta be grateful for the lies and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum.